Thanks for tuning in for the Executive Series. Today I'm speaking with Richard White, who is the CEO of WiseTech Global. Richard, really good to talk to you.
Great to talk to you too, Tom, again after a long break.
Indeed, it's been a while, and I suppose we were just talking off camera a moment ago how the last time we spoke, I think it was in the midst of when people were trying to understand what was going on with COVID. And by virtue of your data within your WiseTech ecosystem, you already had a very good handle on what was happening with the virus and indeed its impact on freight movements.
Yes, indeed. And in fact, we had the benefit of two sources. We had the staff we had in Nanjing and in Wuhan. And we also had a huge amount of data coming out of China. At the peak of the COVID crisis, just before we announced our results, I think February 18, 2020, the supply chain was 90% down out of China. That's just never happened. And we knew it was very serious. Of course, I got whacked pretty hard for saying the truth, but in a few months later, it's proven to be very, very sage. And the company, of course, has been fantastically performing through the COVID period.
I mean, it speaks to so many things, having that facility and that oversight. But I suppose in the moment today, what are you seeing in terms of the global freight picture? Because it has been the nub of so many pressures that economies around the world are experiencing, namely in inflation and just the ability to move things from point A to point B. What are you seeing at this moment in time?
Well, during COVID, of course, the supply chain became very full. People were locked down at home, buying, you know, home renovation, art supplies, musical instruments, exercise machines, everything. And the supply chain became very full and very overloaded. Yep. And choked. And for a long time, most ports in and out of China and into Western countries were very, very poor performing because they were past their total capacity. And it really speaks to the nature of supply chain that you need to have better management systems, better data, better control of those things so you don't create those bottlenecks. I think there's the supply chain is now calmed.
Yep.
Prices have come down, not yep. perhaps to 2019 levels, but certainly back to more rational levels. And you know, we've been moving very strongly in that space and have had very good results. We had fantastic results last week, last Wednesday.
Indeed, let's talk a bit to that, because I think, you know, speaking dispassionately about your numbers, you know, all of those metrics, you know, culminating with, you know, free cash flow, so impressive. Speak to those points.
Well, look, we grew, you know, total revenue grew 35% on a reported basis, but CargoWise grew 50% on a reported yep. basis. That's enormous. We had you know, huge EBITDA growth, 36% EBITDA, 40% of NPAT on NPAT growth, and our dividend was also up 39%. So on every metric, we've sort of blitzed the market and made people very impressed. But this is a company that's been working on itself for decades, and we have a way of continuing to make ourselves more efficient and more successful over time. We also, in that half report, we announced a major deal, a watershed deal, really. On our global customs capability with Kuehne+Nagel, who's the world's largest freight forwarder. So it's very confirming of the strategy.
Yep.
But if you remember, we bought 25 companies in that custom space between 2017 and 2020. And we said it was going to take us more than 5 years to build out the global customs capability. And here we are, having done a very large part of it, not all of it by any means, but now to the point where companies are saying, okay, we've got to get rid of our old strategy. This new capability is much, much better. And Kuehne+Nagel has shown tremendous leadership in taking this position because they're an early adopter of this technology.
Yep.
But this is a breakthrough, a big one.
So that suggests that the Kuehne+Nagel transaction is a tipping point.
Yes.
In an ideal situation, what do you expect to follow from that?
Well, it moves us from our core freight forwarding capability, where we're very strong, and that this period, that has also grown in capability. We've won a lot more customers in that space, but it's now broken through into this global custom space. And I think there's, you know, there's more work to do. This doesn't sort of happen instantaneously. Yeah. It's not like tomorrow I'm going to get another 20 orders, but we are going to get big companies coming to us and asking for please solve this problem for us on a global basis, because it's very painful, very complex, very fragmented, and very risky, actually, because of the cybersecurity risks in having, think of having 100 small vendors to provide your custom solution, one in every country with its own architecture, its own contract, its own maintenance schedule, its own cybersecurity risk, its own user interfaces, and its own connection back to the customer's back office. This is almost impossible to do at any reasonable level, and we've solved for that. We have one system, one user interface, one interface to the back office, one architecture, one contract, one maintenance schedule, and we're responsible for everything. That's a very, very big move.
It seems, Richard, you know, we've been talking for a number of years now, but you have, you know, incrementally been moving towards something that, if you were to use Apple as an example, you know, using the iOS system as a platform, it's almost as though you are trying to occupy that space in the logistics universe. How close are you to that point where it almost becomes the default system on which everyone relies on?
Well, so we say that we want to be the operating system for global logistics. And I think we've moved very substantially. We've moved in that forwarding space. We're very strong in that space now, recognized leader. This custom space moves us another step towards the either end of that operating system value chain, if you will. But equally, we've made a very, very big move into landside logistics by taking our own capabilities, the capabilities of Envase, which we acquired about 3 weeks ago, and Bloom acquired about 2 weeks ago. We're now in a position where we can say, together we can make a huge difference, productivity difference, capability difference, and visibility difference in the largest logistics market in the world, the US market. It's where all the pain points, all the complexities are, and where we can solve for that. And then if you can solve for that market, you can solve everywhere. So that's done as well. So that's three steps towards whatever that final goal is.
So that establishing that presence in the US, it would just follow naturally that Europe would be a really simple outcome along that spectrum, because the Europeans, they don't like to think of themselves as being close to the Americans.
Well, first of all, I don't think it's an easy change.
Yep.
And I think that you always have to go forward with a solution to the fundamental problems that present themselves in each market. But these capabilities in the US are very sophisticated and very complex and very fragmented. And I think that would be, you'd have to have a European version of that solution. You'd also have to have a Southeast Asian version of that solution. And you'd need probably South America as well. But these are not things that have no correlation.
What strikes me is the extraordinary facility that WiseTech has to absorb these acquisitions. The number of acquisitions that you have executed over recent years is phenomenal, and your track record for doing it, you know, very well. Well, what do you put that down to?
Well, it's about 45 acquisitions, if you want to count them total. And we didn't really stop in 2020. We just slowed a bit because we'd done the mainstream of our work. But remember that these are technology companies, right? So there's a very strong cultural similarity. Yep. Not the same, but close enough that the conversion into WiseTech culture is not that hard. And then they're all logistics software businesses. And so there's another real strong connection. These are not in some entirely different industry. The people are there. They see the problems that we see in the industry. They like the idea of solving problems at a grander scale. They love the idea of being in a really high growth, high profitability company like WiseTech. We reward our staff, we train them well, we give them a lot of pleasure in being successful.
Yeah.
And so I think no acquisition is a perfect integration on the day one. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes work, but we're very good at that. Having done 45, and you know, sort of 35 of those are well integrated and, you know, completely functioning within the company, it's just a job that you do and it's a process that you have.
It never feels like we've got enough time to have these conversations, Richard, but thanks very much for dropping in to have a chat today.
I always enjoy them, Tom, and it's great to see you again after 3 years of them not seeing you.
Indeed, indeed. Thanks very much. And thank you very much for tuning in for the Executive Series.